All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn. Until now, we're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Hot Topics episode. We got some real flaming hot topics today. We're going to be talking about Russell Brand. We're going to be talking about Russia-Ukraine situation, maybe a little bit of China action, and much, much more. But before we get into it, you guys know the drill. Pay the fee. If you get any value from the show, share it out with your friends, family, coworkers, team members, whoever. We're trying to grow this thing, and we appreciate every single one of you that have been doing that because we do see the Instagram shares. We do see that our listenership is going up, and it's all organic. So we don't run ads to promote the show. We don't run ads to get more people to watch. It's just all because of you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone that's been doing that. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We're up to 600. We passed the 600 five-star mark on Spotify, which is awesome. And we're at like I think we're at 290. I could be wrong. I think we're at 260 actually on Apple. So Spotify, we must have a lot more Spotify listeners than we do Apple. Or maybe they just don't want to leave reviews on Apple. I don't know.
Spotify makes it easier.
Spotify does make it easier. You don't have to say anything. You can just rate us, which is nice. But we're also on YouTube. If you want to watch the podcast, you can either watch it on Spotify or YouTube. So, and feel free for the Barn Talk Q&A episodes to submit your questions at barntalkshow@gmail.com, or you can leave them in the comments on our YouTube channel, on our YouTube videos, whatever. We'll find them, we'll see them, and we'll put them in our next Barn Talk Q&A. That's what I got so far. We got a nice, decent market update coming our way.
It's going to be a very condensed market update. I will say this. You know, we don't have any sponsors on the podcast.
Not yet.
And I think part of the reason that we don't have on purpose because we don't want any, because we don't want to be beholden to anybody, especially when we have hot topics. Because I feel like if we did have a sponsor, they might have something to say about maybe what we think compared to what they think on some of our hot topics. So we're probably not going to do that. I think we'll probably just be our own sponsor, and we thank you for your support, and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing because it seems to be working, and you all seem to enjoy it, and we enjoy doing it. This is by far one of my favorite things to do. I love the farm channel, and I love making content, but I love sitting down and doing the podcast. Definitely one of my favorite parts of every week is doing the podcast. So market update, pretty crappy today. So market's down because our good friend Jerome Powell came out and said that probably going to do more interest rate hikes, and we're probably going to do them at a faster clip because the economy is just so strong and they can't stay ahead of inflation, which the stock market didn't like, and the commodity market didn't like it either. And drier in part of South America, which is going to speed up harvest, but I think wetter in some of the other parts. So that kind of balances out. But I think we're kind of transitioning now where these markets are going to start looking at what the United States weather is as we head into spring. Planting season has already started down in the Delta, I think. So it won't be long, and we'll all start getting funny ideas and probably go try to put corn in the ground somewhere before we should. So that's the long and the short of it for today. So what do you want to talk about first?
Well, we got some hot ones, like I said, but I think the first one we should hit on is Russell Brand. And if any of you guys don't know who Russell Brand is, give him a quick Google search. He's a character. Let me tell you, he is a unique guy, but he's an awesome guy. And, you know, you haven't really heard much of him in a long time. You know, he kind of went down a hard road. He was kind of a drug addict for a time or two. And I think he's fully recovered from that. And he kind of does his own interview style
podcast
now. And he's on Rumble because YouTube demonetized all his videos. And he just kind of tells the truth. And recently, he went on Bill Maurer.
Yeah.
And Bill Maurer, I have mixed feelings on. He I think he's more in the middle than he used to be, which is good.
Yeah.
But he hates animal agriculture and thinks we're the worst people on the planet. So that's where I don't like him.
He's kind of a thinking man's liberal. But, like, he's not just a blind. He doesn't just follow that blindly. And he's pretty good at pointing out people on both sides. But he had Russell Brand on there, and they were talking about kind of the political divide. And I tell you what, definitely worth watching, because that guy's name, what was his name?
John Heilman.
Yeah, John Heilman or Heilman.
From MSNBC.
Yeah. He took him. He pretty much wiped the floor with him, because what you didn't, or what you saw was, they were kind of bantering back and forth, and John said to him, give me one example, because he was talking about the media bias. He's like, give me one example. And Russell Brand just goes, okay, I'll give you one example. Joe Rogan and ivermectin. You guys attempted to absolutely smear Joe Rogan, and you said that he was basically taking horse warmer. And I've known ivermectin forever and a day, because we grew up on the farm. You had it for all kinds of stuff. But I did not realize the man that invented the formulation of ivermectin got the Nobel Prize for that because of the number of lives that it has saved. And it is on the United Nations list of most critical drugs. And
funny how we just completely got rid of that when it was convenient for everybody to start making money.
Well, the problem with it is it's out of patent, so it's generic. So there's multiple people that make it, and there's no money in it.
There you go.
And during COVID,
it was outlawed, essentially.
Yeah, and during COVID, Joe Rogan got COVID, took ivermectin,
posted that
he did, and in 3 days he was over it.
Public enemy number one.
And they not only, you know, tried to paint him like that he was
psycho,
crazy. Said he was taking horse warmer.
Conspiracy theorist.
But also, if you notice the footage that was posted on CNN and MSNBC, they actually took footage from his podcast and they ran it through a filter and made him look like yellow. Yeah. They made him, try to make him look sickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, I mean, he pretty much proved that that is not the actual tape that they used. They literally filtered it. Well, anyway, Russell Brand called this guy out on it, and for him, it was terribly embarrassing. Not Russell Brand, but for the other guy. And it's really sparked, I think it sparked a lot of people to think, which is exactly what needs to happen, about the relationship that the big pharma has with big media and also the military, you know, Lockheed Martin and all these companies that basically fund the news organizations that you get your air quotes news from. And it was an excellent bit. You can find the clip.
We should just roll the clip right now. We'll just roll the clip right now and put it in here. Yeah. We'll do a little small little segment. Hopefully we don't get copyrighted, but you guys deserve to see it. So we'll just put it in right here on the audio. If you're listening or if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, you'll be able to watch it too. So roll it.
Because you don't actually know anything about any of these organizations you're talking about, even on MSNBC once, big fucking deal.
My darling, it was more than enough.
You can't come up with
such a carry-on.
You don't have a single actual fact.
Do you want an example?
Yes.
The ludicrous, outrageous criticisms of Joe Rogan around ivermectin, deliberately referring to it as a horse medicine when they know it's an effective medicine.
Rachel Maddow turning up on the TV saying,
if you take this vaccine, you're not going to get it, when it hadn't been clinically trialed for transmission. You have to listen.
Wait,
do you think you can improve America by determinedly and avowedly condemning Fox News without acknowledging that you're participating in the same game? Did you not just listen to Bernie Sanders, someone who plainly, legitimately believes in this country and believes it's possible to change, but is bound by corruption, is bound bound by the lobbying system. Surely it's clear to you, Bill, as one of the great pundits and experts and comic voices, that systemic change is required. Money has to be taken out of politics. We need new political systems that genuinely represent ordinary Americans so that we can overcome cultural differences. And bickering about which propagandist network is the worst is not going to save a single American life, not improve the life of a single American child, not going to improve America's standing in the world, and the world needs a strong America, I'll tell you that.
Just full disclosure, within that bit and his time on Bill Maher, he didn't have anything better to say about Fox News. His point really was that your major news organizations today have been completely bought and paid for by these large corporations, to the point that the only difference between CNN and Fox is...
Or MSNBC.
Is that Fox is going to stir up everybody that is pro-Second Amendment, and CNN is going to be everybody that is against the gun lobby, and they're going to play those two. And then CNN and MSNBC are pro-choice, and Fox, they're going to stir up everybody that is anti-abortion, pro-life. And those are the two big subjects. And his point was that as we're all fighting about these two or three issues, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. So our entire government, left and right, is marching us faster and faster towards Armageddon, driven by the likes of Lockheed Martin and Boeing and large corporations that profit heavily from war. And they're pushing narratives like what we ran into with COVID, where Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson profited heavily from COVID. Meanwhile, instead of investigating that, and we're going to get into how ironic is that now there's a lot of shit that's coming out that our government elected officials and healthcare professionals, air quotes professionals, said absolutely not true, not true, not true. Now, well, yeah, maybe true. But his point was that we are being sold a bag of lies. Well, maybe not even lies. We're being strummed up on social issues that we can easily be divided on, because the powers that be know that that we can all agree on how crooked and untrustworthy our elected officials are.
Well, I think they try to distract us. They're distracting us from what the real problems that every American is facing. They like to keep us focused on the social issues that most of us disagree on, right? Or most of us agree on. It really just depends on who you are, but they keep going on race, they keep going on abortion, they keep going on gun laws, because that's what gets the most rise out of people. We've talked about it on this podcast before, like, those are emotional issues. Mm-hmm. Those are lives, you know? That's the thing. And when lives are involved in a topic, and you can stir it up from one direction and stir it up from the other direction, it gets people to get pissed off at each other. It gets people really pissed off at each other. Instead of focusing on what our own government is doing behind the scenes while our eyes are here or are here. And like what he was saying on that clip too is just like, because that MSNBC guy was pretty much like, I think before the clip really started, he was bashing Fox News.
Yes.
And Russell's like, what you're doing, you are no better than Fox News.
Yes.
And I don't like Fox News either, but you two going at each other serves the American people nothing.
Yes.
Serves us nothing, and what you guys say on your platform serves us nothing either, because it's totally bought and paid for a specific narrative.
Yeah.
And it's fucking facts. And like, you go look at the comments of all those videos, or that video of his, because it's all over Twitter. People are reposting it left and right. You look at the comments on TikTok of that video. There are so many regular Americans that are like, damn, I didn't know Russell Brand would get me this fired up. Like, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
Like, this guy gets it. It's because it's the truth. We're all feeling that way. Yeah. They have lost all credibility. Nobody believes their shit. And it's I respect the shit out of him for what he did. I would have never, like, I saw a comment on TikTok and it said, damn, I didn't realize I was going to wake up this morning and have Russell Brand get me thinking about leading a revolution or something like that. Or I didn't think Russell Brand would be leading us to a revolution, but I'm down or something like that. And it was just like, yeah, like he got up there and was like, he told him how it was. And it was like, it was powerful. It really was.
Yeah. And that kind of leads us into another part of this. So by the time you hear this, I'm actually going to be back. I'm goofing off. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to the Commodity Classic. And Russell Brand was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I was holding out. It's like 3 hours long, and I was holding out. I was not going to listen to it until my flight because I was like, this will be great to listen to. But after hearing him on Bill Maurer's program, I wanted to kind of sample it. And I started listening to it, and I just told Sawyer. Sawyer hasn't listened to it yet, but I told him, I said, I honestly think that as a, not as a business podcast, but as a, just as kind of a life.
Society culture.
Society culture podcast, that might be the best podcast I've ever listened to, and I would challenge each and every one of you to listen to it. And for me, as someone that does a podcast, the last hour of it was better than, I mean, it all is very timely and it's thought provoking and it's done very well. And they're both very thoughtful in their point of view and what they agree on, what they don't agree on, but, just so much good. I mean, it's the stuff we talk about every day, but, a great point that they made was, you know, more and more Americans are waking up to the fact that these people that you see on news shows, Rachel Maddow is not a reporter. She does not know shit. All she is a talking head that she shows up, they put the paper in front of her, and she sells it to you. The reason she has that job is because she tested well with a focus group. The reason all those people are there is because they tested well, they have the right way that they speak, and they look a certain way, and they talk a certain way that makes them sound more believable to each and every one of us as Americans. But they're not legitimate. This idea today, those aren't news organizations because they don't give you anything other than they read the headlines. They should call them.
It's a skewed point of view too.
They should call them headline readers, is because that's what they are. And the point of view that they're giving, when you realize the amount of money that's being funneled to the, not even, you can't even say funneled, it's not being funneled, it's all out in the open. All you have to do is look at who buys the advertising on these news companies. It is all big pharma, General Motors, drug companies,
military
for the military, you know, that's where they're getting their money. And so do you think they're going to say something that doesn't fit that narrative? Hell no, they're not. And they don't have an opinion. Those people don't have an opinion. They can't have an opinion. The opinion is written for them and then they spew it out to all of us. And like we said earlier, their goal is to divide you, to get your blood pressure up, to get you pissed off so that you are more worried about who's using the bathroom, then you're worried about how we're getting that much closer to having a nuclear conflict or being bankrupt. Like, instead of worrying about how our money's being blown, pissed down the drain, and printed, we're worried
about...
Or sent
over to Ukraine.
Yeah, or sent to Ukraine, and we'll get into that. I mean, that's what this has turned into. And I put this down, and I just want to say this, and this isn't... This might sound a little, you know, corny maybe, but Joe Rogan's a national treasure. And I say that, I don't say that lightly, like the kind of conversations that he has, and he said this, he goes, you know, I had him on today. So he was talking to Russell Russell Brand. He's like, I've got you on here today. He goes, tomorrow I might have a guy on that's from the UFC. Then I might have a comedian. Then I might have somebody that collects ants. Well, just because I think it's interesting. But the people that I have that are involved in the culture, Jordan Peterson,
Goggins.
Russell Brand,
Goggins,
Goggins
Jocko,
David Goggins,
Jocko.
Jocko, those kind of people, where else can you get that quality of conversation where you can allow somebody to actually...
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, actually make their point. Because on regular news today, everything is a five-minute soundbite. There is no... You're not convincing anybody, and they don't really want anybody to be convinced one way or another. They just want to agitate you. And... What Rogan's podcast, and I would throw Chamath's, what's that called?
All In Podcast.
I would throw the All In Podcast on there too, just because those guys, that's definitely a business podcast, but the point of views that they show and the people they have on there and the subjects they talk about in a longer form, they
solve shit. They talk through shit. That's what makes Rogan and all these podcasts great. And that's what we're trying to strive to be too, is like we like talk shit through and like discuss things and try to solve problems and like hear people out. And that's exactly what Rogan does. He does that with every kind of person. Yeah. Doesn't matter
whether he agrees with
whether
him or
he
not.
Agrees or with them or not. And he tries to see their point of view and he tries to have them see his point of view and they talk through it and they might disagree or they might agree, but like, that's what we need, is yep. conversations to be had between regular Americans. And, like, he does that every day, every time he shoots a podcast. Not saying everybody he has on he disagrees with, but, like, well, he's not... And that's the other thing. He's not afraid to get confrontational with somebody.
Right.
He's not. It doesn't matter.
Because he's not beholden to anybody.
He's not beholden to a single person.
That's the beautiful thing about this platform is... And that's probably the reason... After listening to that, I was more like, it really pumped me up with the idea that, you know what, no matter what we do, no matter how we make this all work financially, I don't think we'll ever take a sponsor unless it's ourselves. We are going to be our own sponsor because it's just, I just am not going to take, I'm not going to give editorial control to anybody.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, the only... If there's a company out there that's pro what we're saying and is not going to have any editorial control, okay, and it's something that we actually fuck with, okay.
Yeah.
But if they want to see our script before we shoot a podcast, hell no.
Right.
Because this is important. It's just why we started the Hot Topics segment of the show. This is important because if we do not get this message out to people that are thinking the exact same thing that we're thinking, just can't say to people because they're afraid to say it, how are we supposed to let those people feel like they're not alone? Because you can sometimes feel that way. Like you can sometimes never go to the grocery store and ask, how do you think about this? Because you're going to get called a conspiracy theorist or a tinfoil hat fuck. Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and go on my own way. But when you put your headphones in or turn on your TV and you hear us talk about something that you thought yourself and we're afraid to you were going to get told you were a conspiracy theorist, or you hear Rogan do the same, like you hear Rogan say something that you relate to and you're like, damn, I was thinking the same thing. That's what we need. Yeah. That's what we need. That's why this is so important, because we're never going to get this country back to being the juggernaut it was and still kind of is, unless we have conversations and solve shit and come together and not let the World Economic Forum, Military Industrial Complex, Big Pharma, Big Food, all these corporations that are corrupt as fuck, big media, divide us. You know, if we keep letting that happen and distract us from what's actually going on and we don't talk ourselves among what's actually going on, we're just going to be blind. Yeah. We're going to be a fucking sheep without a shepherd, just going right off. Or we're going to have a shepherd, but his goal is to send us right off the fucking cliff.
Yeah.
To our death.
At the end of the day, what it comes down to is we've got to get the money we've got to get the money out of our politicians.
Fuck yeah, we do.
And I don't know how that happens.
Lobbying is just ridiculous.
The lobbying has got to stop. And there has to be clarity as far as when somebody tells you something, you have got to know, well, who's paying that person's salary? Because at the end of the day, I think we've moved well beyond being able to trust most pundits, politicians, reporters, Hollywood types, that they have an opinion out of the goodness of their heart. What we've learned is most of these people are bought and paid for by someone. And until you know who that someone is, then you don't know how to frame what they're telling you. But once you know what their motivation is, then it's pretty easy to tell why they're saying what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think we should jump ahead to China and then come back.
Okay.
Because one of the things that Brand said on Rogan that ties into China is he said, we're in the age now where conspiracy theory becomes conspiracy fact after it's happened. And so we're going to try not to jump down this too hard, but look at the January 6th tapes that have came out.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys were going to overthrow the government and do all this stuff, and they're terrible and they're monsters, and people are the Congress people are running for their lives.
It's Trump's fault. He incited the riot.
He was trying to overthrow the government. And then you see the tape and you realize these people are waltzing through there, and all the security are just like,
opening the doors for them. Yeah, that just came out, by the way. Tucker Carlson put it on Fox News, and I know some of you are like, oh, well, Fox News put it out, so it could be, you know, skewed, but it's literally the security footage.
That was just the outlet that it was released.
Literally security footage of the security guards taking the guy that had the Viking hat with the horns, taking him around the Capitol building, trying to open doors for him to let him in and do his thing.
Yeah.
It was totally set up. At least that part of it was set up.
Yep.
And then they put that guy, and he's been in prison
for four years. 4 years.
4 years he's been in prison.
And they haven't let him out yet, and he should be exonerated.
And this is 2 years later.
But
2 years later, and now they're just releasing that footage. It's just like,
we're going to talk about that. So there's probably going to be another, we're probably going to get out of order because there's so much stuff going on that my guess is that there'll be another Hot Topics next week because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. But so Brand was saying that, okay, COVID was conspiracy theory. Anybody that thought that there was any connection between China and COVID, you know, nobody would say, and anybody that did say that they thought there was, like Trump, you know, called the China virus, it's a conspiracy. Well, now the Department of Energy puts out a study that they're pretty sure that it did come from Wuhan, and they're not willing to say that it came specifically from the lab, but we're pretty sure it came from China.
Hey, this is going pretty well. I've only stumbled my words about two times, so that's good. If you've gotten this far, leave a review on Spotify or Apple. It really helps us out, guys. That's all I ask. Now, let's get back to the podcast.
So he said, you know, now we have these, what's weird is our society, when something happens, the people that have a little bit of common sense, they say what they're thinking, and they're labeled as conspiracy theorists. And then after it plays out, and all the mayhem has happened, then I'll be damned, it comes out that it was conspiracy truth. Mm-hmm. It actually did happen. Mm-hmm. And it's a really strange time in our society. And I don't know if we want to go any more about that, but that kind of led us
into. Well, I think we should. I think we should just go into it. And you really put this together when this all came out and talked to me about it. It just seems like since China has come out and said they're going to aid Russia.
Yeah.
Now America is totally anti-China.
Yeah.
We're getting workers out of China. We're telling them that it's their fault that COVID happened when we never released that up until now. It's just funny that it's that they go and aid Russia, the person that we're quote unquote not fighting but kind of fighting right now, and then now we're all anti-China.
Yep.
We're anti-China this. We're anti-China that.
Yeah.
It just lets you know that, maybe behind the scenes these last few years there really has been some dealings really done between behind the scenes with Chinese people in power of the in China and politicians here in America. Yep. And if you go with Peter Zion's logic, their only fucking way to make it through the next two decades is if America bails them out of what the fuck they have created.
Yep.
That is the only way China survives, because their demographics are screwed, screwed, screwed.
They have a worse balance sheet than Enron did.
They're basically screwed.
If you think we've printed a lot of money, the Chinese make what we've done, I mean, terrible. But let's go back. The kind of my hypothesis for this was, you know, when the weather balloon came over, nobody said anything about it. And I'm convinced, I don't know if anything would have been said about it, but a lone television station in Montana, a video crew was out and they saw this thing. And so they shot it and, you know, they zoomed in as close as they could and they were like, what the hell is this? And they put it out on Twitter, and then it blew up. And then all of a sudden the United States government, they had to say something. They like had to address it. And so then it came out that it was this Chinese spy balloon, and they let it float over the entire United States with the excuse that they couldn't shoot it down over the continental United States because it was a threat to people. Well, I don't know if any of these guys from Washington, D.C. have been to Montana or to Utah or to Wyoming or to western Nebraska or wherever the hell it came from. There's quite a bit of places out there where you could drop something that was as big as two football fields, and I don't think it'd really do other than you could hit some cows, I guess, but not much.
Could hit the Dutton Ranch.
Oh, true. True.
You don't want to hit that.
That's right.
National
maybe
treasure.
Maybe it was flying right over the Dutton
Maybe
Ranch.
It was part of the set. That was part of one of the episodes that will come out, because let's be honest, nothing good has happened on Yellowstone for the last two seasons. So if a fucking, you know, if they got to bring aliens into the show to make it spice it up a little bit, that might help it. I don't know. They're on a dry spell right now.
But so they do all that. Okay. So they shoot that down and then, you know.
Tell us it's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But the Secretary of State cancels his trip to China. And then
tension between China and Taiwan.
Yep. And then
tell us that's not a big deal.
That's been going on now for years, and no big deal, no big deal. We don't have anything to worry about. No big deal.
Displace the dollar, trying to do that. We don't
China
give a fuck.
China has been at the forefront of trying to forge a group to basically let crude oil be denominated in a currency other than the U.S. dollar. So the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world, and China has been at the forefront of trying to get that changed because they want to unseat the dollar. And they're working with a lot of people trying to do that, and I'm not so damn sure the Saudis, they wouldn't give a shit. In fact, if you go way back when we were going down a Bitcoin rabbit hole, we talked about how there's a possibility that at some point you might be able to buy oil using Bitcoin because the faith in the dollar has gotten so weak. But anyway, that's for another time. But anyway, no big deal. No big deal.
China's lockdowns, locking up political decent people.
And the Uyghurs. Whole deal. The human rights atrocities that they've had ever since Tiananmen Square and before Tiananmen Square. No big deal. No big deal. Well, then, this last week, it was, I won't say it was announced, but it was found out that Russia has been talking to China, and China is basically debating about whether or not they're going to sell ammunition and artillery shells, lethal help to the Russians. Well, now, holy shit, they announced that, and then within the same week, this report comes out that, oh yeah, well, COVID might have come from China.
Just came out hot off the press, too. Yeah. I guarantee, just hot off the press. They haven't had that stored away or anything, probably.
And all these politicians are like, well, yeah, boy.
A bitch.
Gosh dang, that could have happened. Well, okay, back the truck up. And I did not know this. I didn't know this. But this is true. This did happen. When COVID broke and the first cases were found in Wuhan province, the Chinese government locked down all domestic flights in and out of that province. And I'm not sure about rail travel or bus travel, but I know flights, and I think it was everything. They started locking it down. However, they left international flights. They let them go. So you couldn't fly anywhere. If you were in Wuhan, you couldn't fly anywhere else within China. You couldn't get out of there. But if you wanted to fly to LaGuardia, you could do that. If you wanted to fly to Paris, you could do that. So the Chinese knew exactly what the fuck they were doing. And we let them do it. If you remember, Trump wanted to shut down flights from China. And he was labeled a bigot,
A racist.
Racist. And it was this big deal, and then they finally did shut it down. But that what you didn't hear was that China had shut down domestic flights. They knew what was happening. Nobody said anything about it. And that, to me, that just came out. But now you've got that. You've got everybody was banging on Trump that he was putting these sanctions against China and cutting trade and how terrible it was. The semiconductor ban and the bans that Biden is doing now are way more aggressive than anything that Trump did. And in Congress, pretty much, this deal has flipped to where both the Democrats and the Republicans, they're scrambling. Each one of them is trying to come up with a better bill going against China so they can look like they're stronger on who hates China the most. And all of this has happened just like you flipped a switch. Well, why do you think that is? Because what's changed? The only thing that's changed is the Chinese have made it obvious that there's a possibility that they will
aid Russia.
But they've been aiding Russia. They're the only people buying oil and gas and coal from Russia right now, I think, with maybe the exception of Turkey. But so, yeah, that's a little bit different. But I think what the bigger deal is, our political class, we've got to make somebody the enemy. And China has been our enemy, but now we're labeling that because we're building this deal up for more and more reason for what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on with Russia.
Well, what I also think is, yeah, what China did is fucked up, right? What they did was fucked up. COVID came out of China. I'm with that. I believe that 100%. But it also takes some blame and responsibility off the people that were responsible for what happened here in America with COVID.
Oh, 100%.
If they can paint somebody else as enemy number one and everybody's on that plan, and we don't hold the people that did some bullshit here in our own country
and are still doing
that. And still are doing some bullshit in our own country, if they can paint that over to China and not take any responsibility and we just forget about it because we're the dumb sheep that they like to tell us that we are, or they don't tell us, but they lead us to be like we're dumb sheep. Yeah. But I feel like that's partially also the reason is they, and what would be the easiest way for us as people of the world, but us as Americans to forget what these people have done to us the last 3 years, a fucking war.
Yep.
What would be the easiest way to forget about COVID and what they did to us? A war. Because you'd forget. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to war and you'd have to forget. That's the thing that I don't think people really think about.
Yeah.
Is what COVID was real, but what they did to people in this country, but people around the world. I mean, we were in better shape than other countries, but I mean, they were in Australia. They were locking people up in camps. They were shutting down businesses. Small business here in America have never recovered from COVID. Our economy tanked. It gave more power to large corporations because a lot of small businesses had to close and never recovered.
Yeah, and I'll just say, I can speak to that.
These fucking vaccines that they claim were the end-all, be-all. Turns out, they're really not the end-all, be-all. Right. Let's just say it. We all agree that they're not. They're fucking not. And if you had natural immunity and you didn't get the shot, you were getting discriminated against. Let's be honest, you were. And you were public enemy number one. And now that all this shit's coming out that, hey, maybe they were really skewing some things and it wasn't cracked up to what it the vaccine wasn't all cracked up to what it was supposed to be, and Fauci lied under oath many times. I mean, he fucking lied about it coming out of Wuhan. He lied on oath, lied under oath, and about where it came from. I mean, that is somebody that needs to be held responsible.
And
that
he
is
holds
bullshit.
Patents. The man holds patents on technology involved in making the vaccine. So my point earlier that you need to know where the money comes from, that guy had and still has a vested interest in people using the vaccine because he profited from it. He also is involved in the lab in Wuhan because he was part of the World Health Organization that was doing the research where they think this came from. Fauci was involved in that. So he has no credibility. But there are so many things that have come out. And I did not know this. Did you know Bill Gates, great humanitarian, man of the world, you know, just Papa Bill telling you what's best. He pumped these vaccines, told us how safe they were, how this was the path. And he didn't even cover his track. The man invested heavily in Pfizer. And I don't know about Moderna. I want to say Moderna, but definitely Pfizer. He owned a huge amount of stock in Pfizer. He bought that position. If you have heard anything out of Bill Gates now, Bill's saying that, well, they weren't as effective as we thought. The virus isn't as potent as we thought. It mostly affects older people and people that are obese. But do you know what's different? Is right before Bill changed his tune, he dumped all of his stock. He made millions off of the run-up in Pfizer stock.
He wants to be on the right side of history now. That's
yeah,
why
exactly
he's doing it.
Right.
That's why he's doing it.
So can you trust him? I don't know. Can you?
You can't.
But if I had the information that I knew that he had a vested interest, I might not have thought, oh, I don't know whether he's got my best interest in mind. And it's just another example, but... The China deal, we used them. I feel like we glazed over a lot of things that were going on and saying no big deal, but now we're going to use all that stuff that wasn't a big deal to point the finger and say we can't let this go on any longer. China is evil, and they've got to be stopped. And don't kid yourself. All of this goes towards, if anything does happen and a war breaks out with Taiwan, I saw the first story the other day, somebody posed the question whether or not the United States could fight a two-front war if China invades Taiwan. And the guy, the government official was, oh yeah, we can definitely do that. So if that's, you know that people are thinking that. And it's, I'm not, it's definitely...
I definitely think it's...
Scary time. I mean, I wish I could have had a better metaphor than just say it's scary times, but...
It's uncertain. I mean, yeah, it's uncertain,
it's unprecedented
times. And, I mean, I think both those reasons that we said right there, I think it's... I mean, just look at 9/11, right? We had to hate somebody after that, right? That was a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. But you have to get the American people to hate somebody to have a reason to go to war. You have to, or else nobody's going to want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think
nobody's going to get behind it.
I think that's a
not saying 9/11 was an inside job. Well, not saying that, but I'm saying that was a catapult to get us to go to war, to make the military industrial complex a fucking shitload of money.
Yep.
And then what did we do? Not long ago, we got out of Afghanistan and it was an absolute fucking disaster.
Yeah.
And we absolutely left. We had no business. There was no point of us even have gone
no,
over
we,
there.
We gave up everything that we had
said
lost
that,
all the lives and all the blood and all the treasure. We basically just walked away and said, "Well, that
was a failure." And who's the only one that benefited really?
Yeah,
military industrial complex.
So I'm not a big believer in that. You know, COVID was planned, and I'm not a big believer in 9/11 was planned, like that it was an inside job or anything, but I am a firm believer that corporate entities that are involved in politics never let a crisis go to waste, and that's exactly what happened with 9/11 because we went to war and the money flowed and many large corporations profited from that. COVID happened and big pharma got that much bigger, profited heavily. And I just think all you have to do is look at it and say, isn't it curious that the only options that were even looked at and that were allowed were drugs that hadn't been tested and things like vitamin D, which now has been proven that vitamin D...
Zinc. They didn't tell us vitamin D. They didn't tell us zinc. They closed the gyms down.
Exercise.
Sunlight. Stay in your house, right?
Yeah. You can't... I mean, it's obvious now.
And you go, what the fuck? What the fuck are we thinking? Like, I honestly think if it gets written down in the history books, like, it actually played out.
Yeah.
People are going to look back and go, what in the hell were these people thinking? How are they that stupid?
Yeah.
How'd they allow that to happen?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, people have a short memory, but if you really go back and think about it,
yeah,
it was crimes against humanity. There were some crimes against humanity, and there's some people that need to be held accountable worldwide, but in this country specifically. And it'd be to get away from that accountability. Setting a new crisis out in the world would be the fastest way for people to forget about that and never get held accountable.
Yeah.
That would be the easiest way.
Yeah. So all of that to kind of bring us to the Russia-Ukraine war. And I kind of preface this by saying, I don't know if we've had a time where war has become such a gray area, because pretty much every line that was laid out by our elected officials that said, you know, we're not going to cross this line, every one of them has been crossed. So as of today, there are, I want to say there's 35 M1 Abrams tanks probably in Poland that are headed to Ukraine. There's 15 British Challenger 2s headed to Ukraine. There's 15 German, what are those called?
Leopard 2s.
Leopard 2s that are headed there.
60 total, so I don't know how good your math was.
Oh, yeah, 30 Abrams, 15 Challengers, 15...
Leopards.
So 60 total, and the crews are being trained. The Ukrainian crews are being trained to run them. And I guess I've kind of forgot about this, but you know, when this started, we were only going to give Ukraine defensive weapons is what we were going to do. And obviously we've moved past that. And don't get me wrong, I don't want anybody to think that I think that Russia should be left unchecked. This is going to be the end of Russia one way or another, because the atrocities that they've committed and the war crimes that they've committed, however it ends up, Russia as a nation with any standing in the world is over. And that's pretty scary in its own, because they can't go back. They've burned the bridge. They've done so much to so many that there's no way that those injuries will be healed, and I don't know what that looks like. But at the same time, we're fighting a proxy war with Russia. I mean, you can say, is it Russia versus Ukraine? Is it Russia versus NATO? Is it Russia versus the United States? And kind of two disturbing things is, I read a story that Ukrainian pilots are being trained on F-16s, and the F-16s would come from, I'm assuming, Poland or Germany. I think they have F-16s. And the other thing that even more disturbing was Zelensky gave a speech recently, the president of Ukraine, saying that more or less that they were going to need more than just equipment, that they're going to need more troops.
And from America.
He didn't specify. He didn't say that, but he didn't specify. So I was thinking, like,
well, we've already been very giving. So yeah,
how much have we given?
We've provided $76.8 billion in aid, 46.6 in military, 26.4 in financial, and 3.9 billion in humanitarian.
Humanitarian aid.
And then another 37.7 billion is to go in 2023.
Yeah. And then I think that it's already, I think there's already an option for more to go in 2024. So that's a huge amount of money.
So who else is going to send them troops when they need them?
Well, so there's already a bunch of troops.
Who's train? I mean, Jesus, it's written on the fucking wall. Who's training the Ukrainians? We fucking are.
Yeah, there's already a huge group of, in fact, there's some reservists from the United States, from our local area, that are in Poland right now. And I don't know if they're doing logistics or whether they're actually doing training for Ukrainian soldiers, but there is there's a lot of training being done of Ukrainian soldiers by United States and NATO allies. And so I got to thinking, I'm like, well, how many troops does the United States have over there right now? And what do we have?
67,395.
Yeah. So there's 67,000 troops from the United States in Europe as a total. The bulk of those are in Germany, but there's some all over. And when you take into account the number of servicemen we have in the Navy, that I don't know what battle groups we have close in the Mediterranean, but there's an awful lot of United States military that can be projected in a pretty short time. So you have to ask yourself, where does it all end? And, you know, recently the Russians have broken out in Bakhmut, if I'm saying that right. Kudos to me, and if I'm saying it wrong, well, I'm sorry. My pronunciation's not very good, but the Ukrainians got pushed out of Bakhmut, and that was a pretty pretty rough, pretty gruesome battle that was going on there, and a lot of casualties on both sides.
One thing that really concerned me, one thing that I heard from Peter Zion was,
sorry to interrupt, but if you think this is good, you should check out our YouTube channel. This'll Do Farm. Like and subscribe. All right, let's get back to it.
Every war that Russia's fought, they throw bodies at it, and they throw bodies at it relentlessly, and they will throw as many bodies as they possibly can until it's like, until there is literally like nobody left to fight the war. So, like, right now, I don't know the exact numbers, but we're not even, I think when the time I heard the Zion speak, it was like, we're not even a quarter of the way with as many troops as they're ready to go in Russia to fight this war against Ukraine. We're not even a quarter of casualties before Putin's willing to give up.
Russia has never lost a war. Yeah, Russia has never lost a war where their casualties weren't over 500,000 men.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
And at that time that he gave that speech, they were about at 125,000 to 150,000. The estimates now are around 200,000. And here's the other thing, the Russians...
Not even half over then.
Well, the Russians, their numbers aren't going up, but part of the reason it's not is because they've made the decisions. Right now, they're not recovering bodies from the battlefield. They're just leaving them. Because if they don't recover them, they don't have to count them, is the
mindset.
Story I saw. Well, and that's what they... And there was a story yesterday I read...
That's
that,
fucked up, man.
You know, they're short on ammo. They're not very well trained. And they don't have a very... They don't have a very high value of human life. So the guy, especially like the Wagner group, those are convicts. Basically, those guys recruit right out of prisons. And, you know, they give them the options like, well, you stay here in prison, you're going to die in prison. You come with us. And if you make it through, it's like your parole. You're out. You're good. And so they have a lot of guys that, and they're not all that well equipped or well trained, but they get a lot of them. And
got some heart.
they might be more motivated than the Russian conscripts.
Yeah.
But it's a mess. And
it kind of, I mean, yeah, it's so, this is a hard topic because on one side of it, I also saw a graph that said it had the list of every country involved in NATO and how much money they've aided to Ukraine. And yeah. Guys, we are like 10 to 15 times more than any other country. Yeah. We are like by far donating the most and giving the most amount of money and aid, 10 times the next country on the list.
Well, we're the backstop.
It's like not even close. And that is concerning because it's like, we're not the only ones in NATO. I know we're America, right? But a lot of the people, I mean, I got friends and I talk to people, right? A lot of young guys in this country right now don't really want to go and fight this fucking war if there was a draft. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Because we feel like it's kind of how Afghanistan was a little bit. We are fighting for shit that isn't really affecting us right now in our country. And we're not sticking to what we think needs to be actually worked on here in this country. We're going to go, we're going to start this war, we're going to get involved in a war. World War II, that was a little bit of a different situation. Pearl Harbor gets bombed and, you know, Europe's not looking real good, our real good ally. We got to go aid them. And Pearl Harbor was just what we needed to get in.
Yeah.
Right now, nothing's happened here to us in America, and nothing's gotten bombed. Nothing's happened to really light the fire to get people energized to go fight this war. And that's just the consensus I hear from young guys, young women. It doesn't really fire us up, the idea of if there was a draft, we would want to go over there and fight those guys. But at the same time, you got a lunatic in Putin that... Yeah, it might not be affecting America now, but it could if he loses his shit and fucking starts launching nukes.
Yeah.
But, God, you'd think that our nuclear defense system here in America would be fucking top-notch. You would think that we wouldn't have to have a full-on draft to beat the Russians if they're unequipped and they don't have shit for technology, and we're giving all these Ukrainians all this technology and all this aid that we have here in America, and we're training them. I mean, you'd think that we'd be able to win.
Yeah.
You'd think we'd be able to win with that. But what makes the most money?
Right.
A full-fledged fucking war makes money. A full-fledged, like, we're sending Americans over there. We got to start production, and we got to ramp it up. We got to make more tanks. We got to make more guns. We got to make more ammunition. If it's a game for the money, it's a no-brainer just to get a draft and go full all in on it. But they're not just going to launch that. They're not just going to come out and say that unless there's something that happens to really amp people up, because you got to have an excuse to go to war.
Yeah.
You do.
It is a slippery slope. So
it's a tough one. It is.
Russia, Russia could have, if you follow the history of Russia and what their end goal is as far as getting back to the borders they had before the Soviet Union fell apart, because those countries that they controlled before that happened, that was their buffer. That was their buffer between anybody that was going to attack Mother Russia had to come through those countries, and the Russians kept the bulk of their forces in those areas as a buffer against anybody coming to the homeland, and that all fell apart. But Ukraine is pretty much the only country that they could go after that was not part of NATO. Well, I guess that's not totally true. But two of the places that they wanted to get to, all roads lead through Ukraine to get there. And that's, you know, a lot of tension back and forth. And, you know, they went into Crimea, I don't know, 10 years ago. And there's no guarantee that if we just said we're out and you let it play out, there is absolutely no guarantee that Russians are going to stop when they take Ukraine. In fact, some would say they would become that much more emboldened if that happened. And so there's definitely reasons and good reasons to end this war in Ukraine and fight a proxy war, basically give the Ukrainians whatever they need to make it to stop them. What concerns me is the rhetoric and the way that we're handling it, and throw in the Nord Stream pipeline. Who blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline? Well, was it Russia? Was it the United States? And more people are coming over to the idea that it was the United States, because they blew it up so that the Germans had no choice but to stay strong with NATO, because the United States is the only one that's going to make sure that they have the energy they need. So all of these things that are playing out, the simple truth is I don't see a scenario where this war does not go the distance. I mean, it's going the distance. It's not going to be over until Russia is done. And the problem with that is nobody, well, the problem with that is that I'm pretty sure that Russia is not going to quit until every possible
chance of victory is
depleted.
Yeah.
And that means that you could easily go the way of a tactical nuke. It could go further than that. And that's where you have to think that the United States has a superior technology as far as being able to combat that and keep a Russian nuclear threat from...
Well, I really fucking hope so. Because if we were printing money for the Green New Deal and we don't have a fucking defense system for nukes, I'm going to be fucking pissed. I'm going to be really pissed.
Well, it's...
I'm going to be really pissed.
Yeah. And so,
you know, the other thing about that is they haven't really showed that they got our airspace on lock as of recently here in America.
Yeah, that's true, too.
We got a fucking Chinese balloon flying over. Airspace is just wide open for everybody to fly in, I guess. I don't know. The other thing that I want to throw in here before you get me is, well, we've talked about it on the show before, but we've done... The other thing that I wasn't thinking about this when I was talking about my thoughts on getting in the war or not, and kind of the draft and whatever, if there was one. In Putin's perspective, we have gone into Ukraine because it was on the fence, 50-50 kind of.
Yep.
50% of the country was Russian.
Yep.
50% of the country was thinking more as a European country. And we didn't want it to become Russian. We wanted to stay in Europe, right? And so we went in there, and this was what, during Obama's administration? We've gone on some missions, whatever you want to say, into Ukraine.
We sent the CIA in there to basically
flip the narrative.
If we worry about the Russians messing with our election, we 100% messed with their elections. We had the CIA in there, and we were doing everything we could
so that they wouldn't
become. And that's been documented. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So that they couldn't become Russian.
Yeah, I mean, and another thing, no, let's make no bones about it. There probably isn't a more crooked government in Europe than the Ukrainians.
Probably.
And Zelensky's is a real passionate speaker, and I think that he truly believes, you know, he truly wants Ukrainian independence, and he wants Russia out of Ukraine, but his government, they're a bunch of crooked son of a bitches, and... this has kind of gotten glossed over, but you know, there was a hell of a lot of off the book chemical weapons labs in Ukraine that were funded through dark ops, off the book corporations, shell corps. There's just a lot of shady shit going on in Ukraine. And
we've had a hand in it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
And the Biden family has a very intimate relationship with the Ukrainians.
In Ukraine.
Which may or may not have anything to do with what's going on and why we were so quick to come to their aid. But I think to your point
I'm just trying to say, before I was saying, you know, I was kind of saying we don't have a reason to get in this war, but Putin has a reason to go after us.
Yes.
Because that would be like him going to Canada and trying to flip Canada to not like America and become pro-Russian or just like not be a Western country anymore.
Yeah.
Become more like communist and fucking
it's
shit like
a,
that.
Basically like a modern Cuban Missile
and
Crisis.
We would be pissed off if he went to Canada definitely. And tried to turn it communist and not become, you know, a Western civilized country, right?
That'd
piss us off.
Not that Justin Trudeau is very far away from communism.
Not like he's doing a fucking stand-up
piece
job.
Piece of shit if there ever was
but
one.
You gotta admit, that would piss us off, right? And so, like, we kind of did that to Ukraine.
Yep.
Therefore, we might not have a reason to get in, but he has a reason to attack us.
Yes.
So you can't gloss over that fact.
If you put on your helmet of Soviet, if you're thinking like the Russians... The Russians definitely had motivation to go after Ukraine. No doubt about it. Because Ukraine was thrown back and forth as possibly being let into NATO. And that was part of the reason that we were so involved in trying to nation build there because we wanted to strengthen the buffer between Europe and Russia. Well, the Russians look at that as NATO on their doorstep. And so there's just so much that plays into the politics of why we are where we are today. And there's no good way out. And honestly, there is no way out other than the demise of Russia. I mean, I don't see any way that the rest of the world lets...
So what happens? Russia. Let's say Russia loses. They lose. Putin kills himself like Hitler did, right? Let's just say it. What if he does? Does Russia stay? Who claims Russia? Or do we just keep? Do we sanction the fuck out of Russia? Make him sign a treaty to surrender like we did to Germany when World War I happened? You know, they signed that treaty and then they kind of broke that treaty. Right. Obviously, it went into World War II, but Russia would be fucked because they don't have shit right now. Well, if they lost, they wouldn't have really shit. But like, what happens? Who claims Russia? Do they stay a country? Do we just sanction the shit out of them? Like, what happens?
Well, so anybody that thinks that if Putin died or was overthrown or whatever, anybody that thinks that the chances of you getting someone in power in Russia that is somehow better than Putin, that's not going to happen. There is nobody left in the power bubble in Russia that is what you would call a moderate or a new thinker or anything like that. You're not going to get somebody...
That isn't a Soviet.
That isn't as bad as he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to what degree. So that isn't going to change. I don't know, but it doesn't end well. I don't think it ends well. I mean, I think that we've just restarted the Cold War, but I think the way it's going to play out more is Russia. The only way Russia stays viable is through its relationship with China, I think. And I think that that's only going to make that relationship much stronger. And the Europeans are in big trouble.
Their government hasn't been doing them much service either.
Because they're bankrupt. They have no money. They've spent a shitload of money on the Green New Deal.
You got Greta as your fucking spokesperson that's trying to tell you how to run the government.
Their population's aging rapidly.
They're anti-farmer, pretty much.
They're becoming less food independent. So Europe has a lot of problems. Russia has a lot. The whole world has a lot of problems. And I don't see any way that this war ends soon. Because even if you repel the Russians out of Ukraine, that does not mean that war is over. It does not mean it's over. And I don't know how it ends, but it's not good and it's disturbing. And I just hope that somehow we can make it to a stalemate that doesn't, where we're not staring down the idea of nuclear exchange again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think about, do you think that Russia or China is going to act on going on Taiwan, that now that, like, do you think they're going to act on that?
No. You
don't. Well, you've talked about it many times because our Navy would absolutely fucking destroy them if they even tried to go to Taiwan. But like, since Russia's doing their thing, do you think they're going to try to help Russia? And then if Russia succeeds and Russians are going to help them go after Taiwan? I mean, like, what do you think?
No, because...
Is it going to be like a Japan-Germany thing where they're going to say they're buddies, but they're not really, like...
Yeah, so at the end of the day, the Chinese are out for survival of themselves, and they know that the only way they survive is continuing to have the United States as a trading partner. So China imports...
Well, they're failing at that, so what do they do?
Well, they are, but they import most of their food, they import most of their energy, and their only source of income is to produce products from imported raw materials and manufacture it and then trade it around the world. And the only way they can do that is with the United States not at their throat. So,
well, we're at their throat chomping at the bit.
While they like the idea of the Russians taking the United States down a few notches, unless things were to go very badly to where there was very good odds that they could somehow come out on top of the United States, which I think things would have to go really bad. Now, granted, I probably have a higher impression of what the United States is capable of than they probably do. But unless that was almost a lock, I think when push comes to shove, they're going to back away from Russia. And I don't think they'll try Taiwan because time is not on their side.
We're their only scapegoat.
Their economy is headed in a bad path at a lot faster clip than what they thought.
Do you think we should bail them out if that time does come?
No. So I do believe that we're headed the idea of you're going to trade all over the world and we're going to make stuff all over the world and bring it back to the United States. I do believe that deal's done. I think that the United States, Canada, Mexico, Japan, and Britain.
Brazil.
Australia.
Brazil.
I don't know about them.
Maybe. Argentina. They got good food production.
Nope.
No, you don't think they're
gonna... I'm saying as far as who our allies
are.
Oh,
yeah.
Our allies, it's going to be the United States, Canada, Mexico, Britain, because we feel guilty for them, and Japan and Australia, probably. I think that is your trading block. That's who... And Europe is in big trouble, and I don't think that we can save them. And the whole world's going to be in bad... I think the whole world's going to be in bad shape, but I think we will be in the least bad shape of anybody in the world as long as
our
politicians don't completely... And don't kid yourself. I don't think that our... I don't think our lineup is very strong as far as our politicians go. However, I think our natural geography and our demographics
could save
and
us.
Our raw materials, I don't think even our political class can fuck that up.
Well, they can fuck it up if they piss off Mexico. Because Mexico has the best demographics. They're going to be our new China. They're going to be the new China because they have the most young people in the entire world that is very skilled, and it's cheaper to have skilled labor in Mexico than it is China, and they're right next door.
Yeah, Mexico's...
But the fucking problem with that is this whole border thing, and two, drug cartels.
They got to get the cartels.
And the cartels, the longer and longer that Mexico goes on, the stronger and stronger these cartels get.
And so part of the problem we have with that is we aren't honest. Neither one of our political parties are honest.
Did you see
the American people?
Side note, did you fucking see that Katie Hobbs from Arizona that ran against Carrie Lake? I'm going to look at the fucking tweet right now. She was involved with a cartel in Mexico.
Oh, no kidding.
She was getting money from a cartel. Oh, she was doing business with a cartel.
Holy cow.
I got on my
phone.
Well,
no, what I was going to say is this is probably, to me, this is one of the best examples that I know of where both political parties in the United States are not honest with the rest of the American people, because the Republicans right now are beating the drum that we need to secure the border. And the reason that we're doing that is because we're not in power. And the Democrats have chosen to just do like they have with everything else and say, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We got it under control. It's no big deal. But the truth is, both parties in the United States have a vested interest in allowing unmitigated people coming across the border, immigration. We need as much immigration as we can get. I'm not wearing my torque hat. I'm saying, as politicians, I believe that the political class is convinced that because of our aging demographics, we have all the boomers that are retiring and getting older, we have a shortage of labor, and the only way that we are going to keep this economy going of consumers, because we rely on people buying shit that they don't need and buying lots of it, the only way we can keep that going is by getting as many young people into this country as we can, and we're funneling them through Mexico, and whether they are Republican or Democrats, they are kicking this can back and forth, and the truth is neither party wants to solve it. If we really wanted to solve it, we could have common sense immigration reform where if you are a decent person that's not a murderer, not a drug dealer, you should be able to come get a background check and be allowed into this country and become a citizen, and it should be pretty streamlined. It is not that fucking hard. But we don't do it, and the reason we don't do it is because we play political football with it, and our political class is not honest with Americans, and that's got to get figured out. That mm-hmm. has got to get figured out.
Yep.
So what's your tweet?
So Katie Hobbs and her husband have been accused of political corruption in Arizona, laundering cartel money through fake deeds and mortgages.
Yep. And she won, right?
She fucking won. I don't know how the hell she won.
She's the governor.
And people, if you were watching the election race in Arizona, there was a lot of fishy shit going on. Machines were shutting down, breaking, and nobody knew what the fuck was going on. Not saying that there could have been some, I don't know. From the outside looking in, it was shady. And Carrie Lake looked like I was rooting for her hardcore because she was not a no bullshit, hated the corrupt media, came from the media and was like, this shit's bullshit. I'm quitting media. And like, she's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame. And now it's coming out that the person she ran against has got some ties with the cartel. So
I think it gets solved, though. I think that all gets solved because at some point, the weight of that relationship is going to become strong enough as the rest of the world kind of descends. I sound a little dark. As the rest of the world descends into darkness, I guess that relationship between the United States, Canada, Mexico it already is. I mean, we're hog farmers. Our single biggest export market is Mexico. We talk a lot about China. We want to sell hogs to China. But basically, I think one out of four hams that come out of a pig go to Mexico.
Carnitas. Ay, 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 ay.
And I mean, they are.
They're, I love carnitas.
Yeah. Only going to become more important.
I love Hispanic food. Mexican food's the best.
So it's all got to get worked out. But I don't know. The short term, I mean, this... This European thing, this Ukraine thing, it's bad, and it ain't going to get any better. I guess the best you can hope for is that as we head into spring and the mud dries up, that this wealth of equipment that the Ukrainians have gotten, both from us and all the shit they captured from the Russians, that they can really go after it and they can end this fast and drive Russia to a peace agreement. That might be the best we could hope for, is kind of a stalemate. Hot.
Holy shit. I just had to touch dad because he's fucking steaming. I just burnt my finger. Just steaming off his hand there.
I don't know.
Yeah, those are some pretty hot topics. I just have to say, you know what? As shitty as it is out there around the world, and even in this country sometimes, when you look at all the bullshit going on and the people that are behind some of the bullshit, it's still the best fucking place you could live in the entire world. It really is. It's the best place you could possibly be. You should wear that with a badge of honor. You should be proud of being an American. And we just got to try to do our part and keep having these conversations and talking to people and getting smarter with what they tell us, not feeding into just the headlines, not letting them just lead us like sheep and lead us off a cliff. Think for yourself. That's kind of a motto that we've stuck to from the very beginning of the show. We're not telling you how you should think. We're just telling you what we think, and you can form your own opinions off of what we say and go listen to other people too, because that's how you gain perspective. That's how you see different point of views. That's how we come together as Americans, no matter what the fuck your background is. That's how we do it. And we can't keep getting led like we've been getting led. It's bullshit. So we love you guys. We're proud of being Americans. We're never going to stop doing this, and we're not going to let some greedy fucking corporation tell us how we should conduct ourselves in our show. So more is to come. Probably going to do another Hot Topics next week. Submit your questions in if you want to have your questions answered on Barn Talk Q&A to barntalkshow@gmail.com. Pay the fee. Share it. Get some Barn Talk merch if you want it. We'll have it linked in the description if you're watching on YouTube, or in the show notes if you're listening. And, leave a review, and we'll see you guys back here next week for another episode.